best way to start your day.
Good morning.
Good morning, Westchester, with Dennis and Tommy. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9, right here on 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Okay, everybody. Good evening. Welcome to College Hoops Chat. Hope you're doing fine today. I hope you're ready for the holidays. I hope you're in a happy holiday mood. I certainly am, as you could tell by the tone of my voice. I'm looking forward to a fun show today. We're going to be doing a couple of different things. So first of all, our recurring guest, Casey Stanley, who is the assistant coach at Iona College Gales, had to postpone tonight because he's coaching right now. They have the Iona College Gales in the gym right now. So obviously he could not come on the show, so he's got a rain check, and we'll get Casey Stanley back on another show. All right? Iona College Gales. So we'll stay with Iona since we're there. Iona College Gales had a really good weekend. I don't know if you tuned in, if you saw any of the games. Now, the games were played, both of them, Friday and Saturday, on ESPN Plus. Now, I'm going to remind everybody, if you're an Iona College fan, you want to watch Iona College this year, you can't go to the games, right? That's a bummer. Nobody thinks there's going to be games in, fans at games in the state of New York. The current policy, which I've read, the governor's office executive order on pro and college sports, I actually read the part of it dealing with college sports, in particular, college basketball. So I actually read it. And no fans at games, and they don't expect to change it. And it would probably take everybody getting the vaccine, which is probably not to March or April, when the season's probably going to be over. So if the only way to watch the Iona College Gales is either to hope it makes cable TV, which is usually ESPNU, one of the stations you get with the ESPN package on cable TV, ESPNU. They're going to be occasionally on that channel, but the bulk, the majority of Iona College games, you have to stream on ESPN3 and ESPN Plus. ESPN3 is free, but I'm noticing maybe less games on ESPN3, more games on ESPN Plus. To get ESPN Plus, you have to pay a subscription fee. For an annual fee to ESPN. So that's the way. People have been calling me. People have been stopping me, sending on Facebook communications. How do I watch the Iona games? You're really going to need to get the subscription to ESPN+. A little tip, when you go to ESPN website, you'll see a link for watch. Okay, if you click on watch, you'll see all the games available. And I'm pretty sure you can find the information in there on how to get the subscription for ESPN Plus. So I watched both games against Rider, Friday night and Saturday night, Iona. They won both games, right? Iona won both games. They won Friday night 70-56, and they won Saturday night 72-64. I can tell you the Friday night game, was a very strong win for the Gales. They had a great defensive effort. The freshman, Joseph, had 19 points. Ross, the Isaiah Ross, their really good scoring senior, 18 points. And Asante Gist, their point guard, who's now back and kind of working back with the offense, which is very important, scored 17 points. The Iona led all the way. It was a pretty solid game. Having the point guard Gist was critically important in the end of the game. Iona just kind of put the ball in his hands, and he made the difference down the stretch to close out the game. So as of Friday, they even their record at 3-3. Now, Saturday's game against Rider, and remember, the MAC conference that I own a place in, they play two games in a row. So Friday night you play a team, and then you play the same team again the following night, both at one place. So Ryder had two home games, Friday, Saturday, this week. Iona went to Ryder in New Jersey. In the second game, the Gales were leading in the first half, but the Ryder team really came out strong in the second half and really fought. Even though I thought Iona played a pretty dominant first half, they were only up by seven. In the second half, Ryder really got motivated, I guess, you know, on their home court, even though there was no fans, they didn't want to lose two games in a row. They fought really hard. They ended up taking the lead a couple of times. But Iona senior guards Ross and Gist, Isaiah Ross, Asante Gist, were the difference in the final 5 minutes as Iona stretched a two-point lead into an eight-point win. Isaiah Ross finished with 25 points. Get this, folks. He shot 78% from field goal range, you know, hitting two-pointers. And he hit 5 of 6 on three-pointers. So pretty unbelievable shooting performance by Isaiah Ross. In the post-game press conference, Coach Pitino stated he was very proud that his players, four of whom almost played the whole game, and he only really rotated six, dug in and gutted out a tough road win down the stretch. Coach Pitino mentioned that the reason he only played for most of the game, six players, rotating for five spots, obviously, was that he feels some of the players aren't playing good enough defense right now. It's probably why they're in the gym right now practicing for the third time today. That's why Casey Stanley couldn't come on the show. Anyway, Iona guts out the win Saturday against Ryder. So now Iona's now 4-3. Go Gales. They play Copen State on Thursday, and then they have a little bit of a break for the holidays. So good for Iona. You know, they won three of their last four. They're getting better. All you can hope for with the Iona College Gales. Gonzaga is a team I'd like to talk about. Has anybody seen Gonzaga play? Have you seen Gonzaga? Because they're great. Gonzaga is one of the better basketball teams I've seen in a while. This is like the last few years. They're that good of a team. Opened up the season, right, Gonzaga, and they beat Kansas 102-90. Then they play Auburn, blow them off the court. Auburn's a good team, 90-67. Then they play number 11 in the nation, West Virginia, win a tough game, 87-82. And then this past week, they played Iowa, number 3 in the nation. That was Saturday. We watched the game at my house. And they the score was 99-88. Iowa made a little run in the end. But trust me, Gonzaga blew them off the court for most of the game. Gonzaga's great. I don't know if Gonzaga's going to lose. At least not to the NCAA tournament. They may go unbeaten in a regular season. So watch out for that, folks. A really strong Gonzaga team. Everybody's saying Baylor's great, too. I have to tell you, I haven't seen Baylor yet. I want to see Baylor play. I have not seen them play. But they're probably the two best teams in the nation. St. John's. St. John's, the Red Storm. I'm a fan. I watched the game this week. They played really well Sunday night and beat Georgetown. The week before that, they lost to Georgetown. I was pretty happy with St. John's with a very solid win against Georgetown this Sunday night. The whole team played well. They kind of played some really strong defense, got a lot of turnovers. Greg Williams, I think he scored something like 25 points. He was really scoring with ease. It was a pretty solid game. Champagne had a good game. Posh Alexander had a good game. The whole team played well. So St. John's, after having a tough start to the Big East, losing to Seton Hall, losing to Georgetown, losing to Creighton, got a win. So now they're on the one-game win streak now, but they got a lot of work to do, St. John's, if they're going to be above 500, a competitive team this year in the Big East, because the Big East is really good, really good. And we'll talk later with Kenny from Rye about Providence, Seton Hall. They had a big game this week. Lastly, Buffalo. Buffalo played Syracuse Saturday night, and I was all excited that my school, of course, you all know by now that I went to law school at Buffalo, my school could upset the Syracuse Orangemen, and they were winning most of the game. They were playing great. Syracuse rallies, gets the game into overtime, and wins in overtime. So Buffalo fell a little short. It was a tough weekend, folks, to be a Buffalo fan. On Friday night, the football team was unbeaten, playing for the conference championship, and they lost to Ball State. And then Saturday night, the basketball team was playing Syracuse, looking for a big upset, and lost in overtime after blowing a big lead. Tough weekend to be a Buffalo Bulls fan. But we'll be watching Buffalo all year. They have a good team. Buffalo's got a good team, and they got a shot to make the NCAA tournament by winning their conference, the MAC conference. It'll be tough, but a Buffalo could go to the tournament this year. All right, so we have a guest coming up, all right? A friend of mine, John Felicity. He is a Rutgers fan, and I thought we should talk Rutgers tonight. He happily stepped in for Casey Stanley. John's going to be calling in about a minute because Rutgers is playing great. I don't know if you know that, but Rutgers, the very strong public school in the great state of New Jersey, our neighbors, is trying to revamp their athletic program. And we have the football team playing much better this year for Rutgers. The basketball team started playing better the last couple of years when they got a new coach. We're going to learn about that from my friend John when he calls. But it's a kind of an exciting story, right? They're a New York metropolitan area team, right? The tri-state area, Rutgers. And they're having a terrific season and winning real tough games in the Big Ten. And right now, it looks like the Big Ten is the best conference in America. So Rutgers is winning games in the Big Ten, which is probably the toughest conference in America. So I'm excited about Rutgers being good. I want all the teams in the tri-state area, in the New York metropolitan area, to be strong. And it's nice to have a good team over at Rutgers. So here's the call coming in. This is my friend John, who's going to be telling us about the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Good evening.
Good evening, Jim. Really, such a pleasure to be on your show. These are heady days. That's all I can say. Everyone I know who's a Rutgers fan is walking around with the biggest, silliest grin on their faces. We're ranked 11th. We haven't been relevant at a national level, really, since the early 90s, and haven't been consistently relevant since the mid to late 70s.
Wow.
So that's a long time to be wandering around in the desert, but it's been fabulous. And, I think if you ask anybody who's been following the game, they put it squarely on the shoulders of the coach, Steve Paikel.
Steve Paikel, who was at Stony Brook, did a great job there, then got the job over at Rutgers, and absolutely doing a terrific job.
Yep. And so here's just a quick, a minute story that should indicate some of the differences in philosophy. So he succeeded Eddie Jordan as head basketball coach. And for Rutgers folks, Eddie, he was a god. Right, he was part of that late 70s fantastic run, had a pretty good career in the NBA, came in, he was the savior. And his signature win, he beat Wisconsin at home. Wisconsin, I think, was ranked number 3. It was probably the only significant win of his tenure. And, it was kind of a softball interview after the game, and we had out-rebounded Wisconsin. And somebody asked him about that and asked about rebounding. And Eddie said, we don't practice it. We don't practice rebounding because you can't coach it. Guys either want to rebound or not.
Not a good answer. I would say take that over to Tom Izzo, who coaches rebounding in every practice up at Michigan State.
It was shocking. So Paikel comes in, and he says he knows what he has. He's inherited his team. He doesn't have any highly recruited players. And he said, our identity will be first on defense. We will contest every shot. We will be on the floor for every loose ball. we will out-rebound and we will out-hustle you. And at the in the fourth quarter, when everybody else is gassed, we're going to be running up and down the court because we're going to do with what we have. But more importantly, that became the identity because it really, even last year, the shooting wasn't terrific, but the players have bought into the notion of playing unselfishly, playing hard, whatever role you're in. You know, that he's one of his big things on defense is that he wants versatility on his team. He wants to be able to switch people in and out. So can you guard 1 through 4? Can you guard 2 through 5? Can you do that? Are you willing to do that? And that's what he wants. So he gets guys that are not highly recruited, who have maybe a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, and who are willing to play tough. And really, that's what he's done with this team over the last 3 years. And it's now finally starting to show in, and I'm sure you know, if you look at the AP rankings, the Big Ten has 7 of the top 25 teams.
There's no question right now, as of this moment, the Big Ten is the strongest conference. Now, let's just give people some background, John, before we go further. So Rutgers is 6-0.
Yep.
They're traveling to play Ohio State on Wednesday. Huge game for the Scarlet Knights.
Yep.
But let's take one step backwards. Are you alumni of Rutgers?
Yeah.
Okay.
And when you say that with alumni, you always have to interject long-suffering.
Okay, long-suffering alumni.
So I should have been class of 78. I needed an extra semester to do my student teaching, so got out in 79, which, by the way, was, you know, that was, we had an unbeaten Final Four team in 76. You know, the Phil Sellers, all those guys.
Those great teams. I remember them. You know,
huge.
I went to St. Bonaventure.
Okay.
And my freshman year, our biggest game of the year, my freshman year was the Rutgers game because it was on ESPN. We were so excited.
Yeah, yeah.
We painted our faces brown and white. We went crazy. We were screaming. And I don't know how it happened, John, but I'll tell you my recollection of the game. You might have seen the game. It was something like 32-29.
Yeah.
St. Bonaventure did like the four corners Dean Smith strategy.
Yep.
Do you remember that game?
Yep. Yeah, I do. I do.
Well, I was the guy painted brown and white screaming and yelling when you watched the game.
Oh, my gosh. So really, I follow them. The football's another story. One day when there's no basketball on and we're chatting, I'm going to tell you a story about men's volleyball that will knock your head off.
But
going back to the team, so sure, I'm an alum. I follow. You know, my wife and I, we have a scholarship set up for the Newark students, for the Newark campus.
That's great.
So we're invested, you know.
Good.
We take it seriously. And, you know, when you're a fan and your team doesn't do well, you suck it up and you root for them anyway. So it's been nice to see this unfold. And Pikel, and here's another thing. I'll just throw this out, too. They've had games canceled for the opposition, having run into COVID problems. But so far, neither the football team nor the basketball team in the season has had any players with COVID.
That's great. That's great. All right. Let's turn to a player that I'm really impressed with. And I got to see his dad play, and that would be Ron Harper Jr., right? I saw his dad play in the NBA, so I'm kind of psyched to see him play. He's doing great. I mean, he's actually one of the best players in the Big Ten this year. He's kind of like leading the team, I think, to the 6-0 record. Tell us about Ron Harper Jr.
Okay. So you know what? It's a team of two players. The emotional leader is Geo Baker. Really. I mean, he's the guy that people look up for up to, but he was hurt a bit in the middle of the season last year. First game this year, high ankle sprain, he's out. He misses 2.5 games. And Ron Harper Jr. has to take over. Last year, he was very good or he was out of control. And this year, he has calmed down. He's the run killer. You know, the other team starts to get their win back, goes on a little bit of a run. He drains a three. He drains another three. He drains another three. He's got a quick release. He's tough. His three-point shooting is this year so far, I think, is off the charts. I think he's over 500 on his three-point shots. So he's turned into a kind of a different, not an emotional leader, but the guy that the team looks to when they know they have to score.
So Ron Harper Jr. is averaging 24 points a game, 7.3 yep. rebounds. Your team is 6-0. You got me so pumped up here, John. I'm ready to paint my face red and white and root for Rutgers Scarlet Knights. You got me pumped up about this.
Well, you know, there's an interesting thing going on here because it's the State University of New Jersey, and yet they threw probably lots of reasons that they have never really channeled that in terms of athletics. I mean, academically, I'll tell you what, academically, the team last year, they had a team GPA of 3.57.
Outstanding.
So they pay attention to that, but they had never figured out the secret sauce to get New Jersey kids to stay home and play for the home university. I'm hoping that because they're in the Big Ten now, part of the recruitment attraction is, hey, you want to play the Ohio States of the world, you want to play the Michigans of the world, you can do that, and you can do that from your home state and have your family come to your games.
Absolutely. You listen, and that goes now for football and basketball. Why?
Yeah.
You got really strong coaches in both sports that are giving people a reason to believe, and there is a case to be made. Look, Schiano already did that in football, right? When last time he was there, he built the program to be, they go to like five bowls in a period of time?
They went on his tenure, I think they went to five, and they went to a couple after that before the wheels started to fall off.
Yeah, that's a great coach.
They were 6-1 in their seven bowl games.
Yeah, Schiano wasn't the greatest coach with Tampa in the pros, but he was a terrific coach at Rutgers, and it's great that they got him back there. The fact that they were even debating bringing back Schiano was almost like, are you kidding me? This is the perfect guy to bring back the program.
Yeah. People, you know what? The alum, they basically went back to the administration and said, you're not going to get a nickel from us if you do this.
I saw that. And now you have a great basketball coach. I've seen Pikel coach when he was at Stony Brook, did a great job there, had them on the threshold of being an NCAA tournament team. Now he's going to take Rutgers to the NCAA tournament.
Oh, he
this
got
is really
them.
Exciting.
He got Stony Brook.
Oh, he got one time at the end? I know.
He did.
I know
he
they
did.
Lost in their championship game a couple times.
Stony Brook transitioned up to D1 in 99. Pike took over in 2005. And 4 years later, he won the American East Conference.
All right,
championship,
so he did get them there. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad. Stony, it's another very strong academic school. The people underestimate how strong academically the four big universities are in New York State. I went to Buffalo for law school, terrific school. Binghamton, terrific school. Stony Brook, a terrific school. Albany, a terrific school. Got some great options here in New York State if you want to go for public universities. But and my Buffalo Bulls are a very strong basketball program, which unfortunately we're going to have to talk another time because our commercial is coming up.
All right.
John, you are my Rutgers guy now. We're going to have you call in again. Keep us up to date on the Scarlet Knights.
Fantastic, Jim. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. This was great. All right, folks. All right. This is our holiday show. We're going to commercial break, and we'll be right back.
We want you to be able to say,
it was a lovely Christmas.
From 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX.
They're playing basketball.
get ball. They're playing basketball.
All right, folks, we're playing basketball. We're back here at WVOX 1460 AM, my favorite radio station. My name is Jim Maceno, and this is College Hoops Chat. We're here every Monday night in this time slot, and we're having a ball talking about the great sport of college basketball, which is getting played despite a pandemic. Sometimes you wonder how we're going to get through it, and yet you keep turning on the TV, you get to see some terrific ball games. All right, folks? So very exciting. Do we have any calls yet, Chuck? No calls yet. Here's the phone ring. I know we got Kenny from Rye calling in, but that was a great call from John Felicity. Great call by John Felicity. We learned all about Rutgers and their 6-0 record and ranked 11th in the nation. Is this Kenny from Rye?
James, how we doing?
How you doing, Kenny? Are you now pumped up for Rutgers after you heard John all pumped up on the show for his school?
Well, I think everybody realized also they finished off extremely strong last year. I mean, they were favored, or I should say, expected to make the tournament last year prior to the season being canceled. So, you know, this continuation is not something that's totally unexpected. But I think from a perspective of where we are in the tri-state area, Rutgers is clearly the best basketball program.
I agree, and I'm excited for the team. And they certainly have Steve Paikel's an excellent coach, and they've got some real players, and they're starting to recruit now. We always know there was a lot of good high school basketball players in the state of New Jersey. So if they just keep some of these kids home, this could be a threat every year in the Big Ten. They can really I think they're on the right track, and I think not only are they on the right track, Rutgers, but they're going to a place that can be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I mean, success begets success. I mean, they were successful last year. He probably recruited well, and he will do so again this year. So it's not unheard of. Obviously, keeping local talent home, playing a Big Ten schedule is attractive. I think the whole package looks very good for Rutgers. And obviously, the football team, you know, starting to kind of, I guess you'd say, be reborn again in the Big Ten helps as well.
I agree. Absolutely. All right, Ken, it's time for you to do a little bragging, family bragging. The Nixon family, Kenny from Rye's last name is Nixon, no relation to the president, but Kenny, his family got two big wins this weekend at college basketball. Ken, you're on to brag about the Nixon victories.
Yeah, well, you know, when we talked about this, I mean, irrelevant of my son goes to Northwestern, but besides that, I mean, it was the clear upset of the week. I mean, going in and with Michigan State, who they had not beaten since 1979 when they beat Michigan State, believe it or not, with Magic on the team.
Wow.
It's the first time in 10 years they've beaten a ranked team, so on and so forth. So the whole scenario was extremely positive. Northwestern looks good. I think Chris Collins is a great coach. He took the job knowing that it was going to be an uphill battle, but he's done a great job of rebuilding. He's taking the right kind of players, hoping they stay 4 years. And I think what he's got this year is a team that's going to be very, very solid. Again, they weren't projected to do very well, but that, again, what we know where projections are by the end of the year. So I think, you know, it was a clear victory. They won solidly. Their strong player is Bowie. He had 30 points. He did 30 points yesterday. He had 14 against Pitt. So Northwestern's actually had really two good wins in the last week or so, beating Pitt the game before by a couple of points. So definitely the upset of the week. I think it was all over ESPN and everywhere else, and I think it bodes well for the program going forward.
All right, so Northwestern almost has two gigantic upsets this weekend. Football, they were leading Ohio State for most of the game, but fell a little short in the fourth quarter. But then the basketball team got it done. But let's go back, Ken, a second. The best player's name is Boo Bowie? That's like a cool basketball name.
I know, exactly. One that you won't forget on TV. And I think they might have said it about 50 times on the highlights last night. He's their three-point shooter, and he chucks them up two, three steps beyond the three-point line.
Oh, those announcers love a good name.
So far.
They love a good name, those announcers.
No doubt.
So I'm looking at, right now, I have it with me, the Rothstein 45. I don't know if you know, John Rothstein is one of the premier basketball analysts in the country. I read him every day. He put out this morning his top 45, and number 38 he has Northwestern. So they're getting recognized up to that level. What do you think about Northwestern's chances in the Big Ten this year, which is stacked and powerful?
I think they were unfortunately picked to finish at the bottom. But I don't think that's going to be the case. And, you know, usually that never ends up being true anyway. I think they've done a good job. They had a brutally difficult season last year. They had a couple of injuries that got them off to a bad start and just snowballed from there. The players he has on the team have all grown with him. He admitted last year, Chris Collins admitted last year, he was going to go with Houston and suffer the pain, and he's done that. And obviously that has helped just to start the year. And as we talked about continuity, he had that. So we'll have to see. Again, you know, it depends on the flow of the season. Hopefully now that we've kind of created some smooth game scheduling, that will help them. And I think, you know, looking at the top, as you say, it's brutally tough. Brutally tough, you know, with Iowa and Michigan State, Michigan, the whole group is brutally tough.
It's so really tough. Big
I think they
down.
Would be very, very happy to finish, you know, in the middle at this point, and it would be a great progression for them.
Do you think Northwestern has a shot at the big dance?
Outside.
Outside shot. Right. Ken's got them on the bubble.
Just because they're in that league.
You got them on the bubble, Ken.
Yeah.
All right, now we're going to put Northwestern. All right, now let's turn. Now, that was your son's school, Northwestern. Now let's go to your school. The Providence Friars, they got a big win. What do you say about that, Ken?
They had a great week. From a perspective of having two games canceled, and this game, the Seton Hall game, being put together at the last minute and thrown in on a Sunday afternoon. You know, Ed, I listened to his podcast, and, you know, he talked about the fact that he was going to take advantage of 11 straight days off and where it was going to be sleep, eat, and practice, and he did that. I think it made a huge difference from a perspective of integrating their point guard in and then working out some of the kinks they had in the beginning. It was a great win. Seton Hall is a much, much better team than their record shows, and I think that would be proven out by the end of the year. So I don't know if anybody got a chance to see it. I mean, PC was a little bit lucky to get out at the end. They made a huge mistake at the end, fouling with 15 seconds to go and up by three. But they turned it around, and, you know, and David Duke, as we all know, is going to probably be the first team All-Big East player, and he showed that yesterday, not from a perspective of not only what he did on the scoring front, but he was key in the last play of the game, setting up the three-point shot and ended up ultimately winning it for them when he took it, you know, he took it right under the basket and then kicked it back outside. So it was a great week for Providence. It was a great practice. They've done a great job staying healthy. And now the win prior to this with beating TCU looks even better with their win over Oklahoma State.
Right, absolutely. So, yeah, that's a really good win for Providence. And we're getting close now right after the holidays where it's going to be all Big East all the time. And Providence, because the Big East is stacked as well, every night's going to be a challenge. I haven't seen DePaul, but Georgetown's much better than expected. St. John's is a solid team. Butler's a pretty good team. The bottom part of the Big East is still pretty good. You're going to have a tough game every week in the two tough games every week in the Big East, no question.
Yeah, I think what was ranked at the bottom this year is not going to prove out. I think you're going to see a lot of that middle to bottom move back and forth and back. Georgetown, as you say, is a much better team than expected. You know, I'm a fan of Patrick Ewing's, obviously, from my days when he was in school. And I think he's done a good job. He basically had to gut that team last year. He had some problems with attitudes, some guys who didn't want to be there, some guys who shouldn't be there. He tossed a few guys off, and he brought a lot of players back in. And I think it's a testament to him that he's done a good job quickly. Again, they suffer from some offensive problems, but defensively, knowing their coach, they'll be fine, and that will obviously carry them through the year. And as you said, the rest of the league, there's no off games. I mean,
never.
You're looking at, you know, teams that are, you know, what, Xavier's 7-0, and Creighton's up there with one of the top teams in the country, and everybody knows who Villanova is. I mean, they look as good as anybody.
No question. The Big East is really strong, and while I've said a couple of times that the Big Ten is the strongest conference, the Big East is not that far behind. Now, they don't have as many teams, but the 11 teams in the Big East are all really good. Every single game is going to be a battle in the Big East.
Absolutely. And I think that we'll see that now, and we're much more into the schedule of kind of what college kids are used to. And I'll give Iona credit, because that's not the norm, playing back-to-back, and that's going to be difficult all year. But the idea of college kids seem to perform very well, playing a game, a couple days of practice, playing another game, a couple days of practice, and then we move through that maybe once in a while with a 4 or 5 day break. But they're much more comfortable with that. I see the Big East schedules this week. The teams that have had some problems getting some games in after the first of the year, hopefully that creation of a bubble on campus that they've had is they talk about, you know, where you have basically men's, women's basketball, and if you have a hockey team, you know, you have that on there as well. But I think from a perspective of what we're going to see after the first of the year, it's going to be kind of hopefully back to a little bit normal.
All right, Ken. Let me just give an announcement. So what I'm bummed about, as you know, since you've been my friend since third grade, I attended both St. Bonaventure and the University of Buffalo. They were supposed to play tomorrow night. I wasn't quite sure who I was going to root for. I was leaning towards rooting for Buffalo since they gave me an actual degree. But game canceled, Ken. COVID. No Buffalo and Bonnies this week.
Yeah, and I see Bonnies has only played two games up into this. They were, you know, they had a decent win over Hofstra, and then another win over a weaker team,
Akron.
So you know, it's going to be difficult, as you say. I mean, these cancellations probably will continue a little bit. They seem to be calming down some, but these teams need to get these games in. As you say, you know, Bonnie's being 2-0, and you look at St. Louis and Richmond in that league. I mean, St. Louis is off to a 6-1. Richmond is 6-1. They had a close or a tough loss to West Virginia. A decent win over Kentucky, maybe not as good as it should have been. Vanderbilt, St. Louis has had good wins over LSU and NC State. So these teams need games, and the Bonnies need games. They are expected to be in the top four of that league. So
speaking of that, so we both agree. We talked prior to the show, Kenny from Ryan and I, that Iona has really taken a nice step in the past week. They played much better in their two games versus Rider than they did against Fairfield. Oh, well, the first game of Fairfield, they played great. Second game was a poor showing. But then both games this weekend, they got it done. They played good defense. They made the shots they had to make really good. But their number one threat to not go to the NCAA tournament, Iona, is Siena. Do you realize they haven't played yet this year? Siena hasn't played a basketball
and
game.
And they're now off till January 3rd of 2021.
They haven't played a game. I haven't got to see Siena because they haven't played because of COVID.
And even St. Peter's, who was expected to be, you know, in between 1 and 2, they had a split with Monmouth. So, again, they had a kind of a start and stop year. And even if you're not starting and stopping, you may get affected by some of the teams you're playing.
No
so
question.
It's been a tough year to say.
All right, Ken. Great job, Kenny from Rye, as always. Thank you for the call. We'll talk college basketball with you all week on the phone, as well as coming in next Monday night.
I appreciate it, James. Have a good one. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Kenny from Rye. All right, folks. We're going to the commercial break. You can call us during the break if you want to get on at 914-636-0110. 636-0110. I'm Jim Massano. We'll be right back on College Hoops Chat.
Believe in family, friends, and togetherness. Wishing you all the wonders of Christmas. 1460 WVOX.
1460 WVOX. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
Okay, folks, we're back. This is Jim Massano on College Hoops Chat, our weekly college basketball radio show here on WVOX 1460 AM, my favorite radio station. I'm happy to be here every Monday night to talk about college hoops, and I appreciate the callers tonight. Great job by John Felicity, who's now our Rutgers guy. We'll be having John back on the show to give us updates about the 6-0 Rutgers Scarlet Knights, who are having a terrific season. Kenny from Rye, as usual, every week. He's there for us to give us his thoughts on college basketball. We let him boast a little bit about his family's teams. Both Northwestern and Providence were big wins in the past week. So if you'd like to give us a call, the number here is 914-636-0110. So just pick up the phone, and if you want to talk about anything you think about college basketball, share your thoughts. Get a debate going, feel free to give us a call. Number here is 914-636-0110. Let's just give us a call and we'll get you in the pipeline. All right, so I don't know if I've mentioned before, I'm a fan of John Rothstein. John is a prodigious, incredibly hard worker who talks about college basketball like 24 hours a day. He's either on CBS, the cable TV station, CBS Sports. He's online. He's on Twitter. Wherever it's just nonstop basketball coverage. And he's a thoughtful guy, and he's a fair guy. So, number one, if you like college basketball, follow John Rothstein on Twitter, because it's all day long stream of very thoughtful stuff on college basketball. For instance, this morning he put up the Rothstein 45, where he ranked the 45 best teams. Now, I don't know why he picked the number 45, but I'm going to guess. I have a theory, okay, that my own little personal theory from following college basketball, that because of when they do the NCAA tournament, right, we do the bracket for the NCAA tournament, because so many conferences have automatic buys that suck up a lot of the opportunities to play in the big dance, the NCAA tournament. There are a lot of openings for at-large teams, but at the end of the day, by my calculations, usually, you have to be in the top 45 teams in the nation if you don't get an automatic bid to have a shot at the NCAA tournament. Usually the teams that get in off the bubble, okay, those teams that are in really great conferences like the Big East or the Big Ten we talked about tonight, for them to get into the NCAA tournament, usually those teams need to be in around the top 45 in the nation. I wonder if that's why John Rothstein does the Rothstein 45, because it's my theory that you need to be in the top 45 to make the NCAA tournament. So let's go through this a little bit, right? Let's go through it a little bit. He says the best team in the nation is who? Gonzaga. I told you earlier, they're great. He has a note for each team. His note for Gonzaga is Jalen Suggs looks like the top overall pick in the 2021 NBA draft. Well, I watched on Saturday with my son Gonzaga versus Iowa. Iowa was number three, and I expected it to be a close game. It wasn't for most of the game. Gonzaga was terrific. Iowa had a rough day. They had trouble getting the three-point shot going. So Gonzaga won, and they looked really good in winning. And I read there, they played four games so far, and they beat four good teams. Gonzaga's going to be a tough team this year. I don't think they're going to lose in the regular season. How about that? Number two, Baylor. Okay, John Rothstein's got Baylor number two. Everybody's got Baylor number two. His note is Jared Butler had 13 assists to one turnover in Saturday's win against Kansas State. So Baylor's good. They're winning, and they're going to be a tough team this year. All right, who does he have number three? Kansas Jayhawks. Kansas Jayhawks. The skinny is that will have its hands full with West Virginia front court on Tuesday. Well, there you go. If you're looking for a game tomorrow night, folks, you're going to have Kansas playing West Virginia. West Virginia is a really good team. So that's if you're looking for a game to watch, a top game, that's your game tomorrow night. Although I'm going to be struggling with that because I was planning to watch North Carolina at North Carolina State. I'm a big fan of the North Carolina basketball schools. All right, we have a call. Let's go to the phone line. Good evening.
Hey, Jim, it's John from Croton. How are you?
Hello, John from Croton. How you doing tonight?
All right, how's everything going? Good
Very
show,
good.
Good show.
Oh, thanks so much. All right, so what's your issue tonight?
Well, I got a couple things going. Huskies lost a tough one yesterday to Creighton, 2-point game.
Connecticut, yes, UConn. I saw that. They're what's Connecticut has, how many losses do you know off the top of your head?
I think two or three. They beat USC, they beat some good teams, and then they lost a couple of close games. One they were beaten pretty well, but I think it's two or three losses.
Right. So Connecticut's going to be a good team this year. They had a good coach. They got some good young players. There's no question about Connecticut. They have a terrific player, and that's Jane. Am I saying a name right? James Bouknight?
I think so. I think that's the way to say it.
He's terrific. He's a really good basketball player.
Over the years, that was a Calhoun phenomena. He would find somebody somewhere, and all of a sudden, when it came time for the playoffs and the Final Four or the tournament, all of a sudden, who are these guys? Where'd they come from? So they're getting back on a roll there.
Well, that guy, if I'm saying the name right, Bouknight, scored 40 points against Creighton.
Yeah.
Pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, it was close. It was close. And Creighton's a good team. They're what, ranked 12, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, Creighton's excellent. Excellent team. They're going to be
13.
Yeah, they're really good. So, All right. So, what else you got for us?
So I wanted to just mention, and you and I had talked about it, the proposal in the U.S. Senate about paying the players. Senator Booker from New Jersey had mentioned or thrown a proposal, introduced legislation, co-signed, I think, by one of the New York senators, saying the players should be paid a percentage of what the schools get. He talked about football, basketball, the sports that bring in the big dollars, that the players should be compensated for that, that they're generating all this revenue for the schools, but they don't get anything. So I think we're going to start to see some more changes, and I think there's more pressure now on the NCAA. I think it was California, and there was another state, Jim, that passed legislation about paying the players.
Yes, or likeliness, getting them paid for their likeliness, you know, on jerseys and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's a tough issue. It really is a tough issue. I mean, look, you could make two arguments, and there's credibility in both, right? One argument is that they are getting paid. They're getting, at some schools, a $200,000, $250,000 education, right? So it's not like they're getting nothing. They're getting a top college education for free. And a lot of families, like your family and mine, we had to pay for that for our children. So they are getting paid to some degree. And there is an issue of amateurism, that college basketball is amateurism, although I think that's getting harder and harder to prove that it's amateurism, particularly as we're going through this COVID situation. But on the other side is the issue of the fact that these schools are making millions and millions of dollars off these players, and they get nothing. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't like the Booker proposal because I don't like the percent issue. I think that's poorly thought out. And at the end of the day, remember that the money that's brought in for these basketball programs has to pay for the athletic department. So, I don't like that formula, and I hope that's not the way it goes. Do I think players should get paid to some degree beyond just getting the free education? I'm cool with that. I'm open to that. I want to see how it's going to be done, but I certainly have no problem with them making some money while they're at the school. I mean, when you read some of these stories from time to time where these kids, you know, it's hard for them to even go buy some food at the snack bar because they can only eat in the basketball team's cafeteria, and they get in trouble if somebody buys them a meal. It starts getting ridiculous when these guys are making millions of dollars for the school.
Yeah, when you drill it down to that level, it just is absolutely ridiculous. You are right in that college basketball and college football pays for all the other sports. And, you know, pays for volleyball, pays for the crew team, and it pays for this one and that one. But at the same time, you know, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars for some of these schools. And then you have the alumni contributing. I think Booker's just trying to start the discussion.
That's a good point.
He's throwing this out there, and I don't think this is going to be the way it is. But I remember a story from the last time UConn was in the Final Four, and in the finals, the guys could only afford two meals a day on what they were given while they were away.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, I mean, for what they generate. I mean, yes, it's supposed to be student athlete, but the reality is, for some places, it's athlete student. So,
right.
I think you have to, you know, think about that too.
Now, it's a great issue you bring up, John. And you know, unfortunately, I put my lawyer hat. I can argue this thing two or three different ways. I think you can too. But I think I'm open to change. Everyone needs to be open to change. But here's the sad part. While you and I think, could probably solve this, and some of our friends sitting down in a room being reasonable, where the heck is the NCAA? They're nowhere to be found to be making all these important decisions. I mean, do you realize, John, they still haven't made the decision about paying players for their likeliness? I mean, so they said they were going to do it. They still don't have the final policy place. That's a disgrace.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, great call, John from Croton. I appreciate it. We'll talk more in the future.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Thanks so much. All right, thank you, everybody who called in and was part of the show. Had a lot of fun tonight. Happy holidays. If you're celebrating Christmas this week, Merry Christmas. If you just finished up celebrating Hanukkah, Happy Hanukkah. Whatever you're celebrating, have a great time. We'll be back next Monday night. Happy holidays, folks. College Hoops Chat. Bye-bye.